Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on your guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. What if you plan to repent in the 11th hour? And he comes at 10:30. What if you decide that you will put off being a Christian? One time when Kathy was involved with one of our surveys of our neighborhood in Michigan out in the country, somebody said, I'll be back to church when I get ahead a little bit. Never came. Because you never get ahead. You never really get ahead that much. Members of mine who would say, well, I'll be back as soon as I get caught up on my bills. But now I have to work extra jobs to pay for them. Procrastination, what do we put off? How do we live out our daily lives? Here we are at the last Sunday of the church year. Sometimes it's also known as Christ the King Sunday. And it's the Sunday, also known as the Sunday of the Fulfillment. It says, lift up your eyes a little bit and realize that not everything that we have here and now is going to be this way forever. In fact, for Christians, that's a great joy, because maybe more than most, we recognize the challenges and the burdens and the troubles of every day. And we recognize that it is never going to be everything that our little heart desires this side of the grave. And so our Lord comes from all different angles in this last lesson of the church here to talk about all the different elements of it and how in some ways he says everything around us is going to come apart like it did on Good Friday, when the sun was darkened while he hung on the cross. Like it did, as he said a little bit earlier, when wars came and destroyed that city that was the pride and joy of all of the Jewish people. Some things we will not know until it comes. The point of it is not that we prowl the scriptures trying to figure out the signs of the end. Jesus says here very clearly, you know there are signs of things breaking apart, and you know there are signs of me bringing in the new kingdom. That's what the whole Gospel of Mark is all about. But he said, you will not be able to pinpoint exactly what's going to come and when it's going to come. And thus, one of the lessons, one of the takeaways from this is live your life honorably all the time. Do not decide, well, today I'll be a Christian, tomorrow I won't be. We are moved by our Lord to seek in every single day to live our lives as his people. Well, what does that mean? It means to recognize that he's the king. It's difficult for us to understand what living under a king is. Our country revolted against that a long time ago. And one wonders whether we're in a better system where there are so many competing interests. But to be under a king says the king decides the way things are. And being under our Lord means that's good. Our Lord never leaves us nor forsakes us. He never tries to push us away or punish us. As we talked about in our Bible class yesterday morning, he may at some times help us to recognize when certain things happen that we are wandering away and to come back. But his job is to draw us all to himself. If you have a job description for God, it's to draw every human being into his presence forever, to live at peace in his kingdom forever. And the whole Gospel of Mark that we've looked at this whole year is all about that. What is that kingdom of God that Jesus was going to establish? You've heard me say many times that the equivalent is really the new Garden of Eden. To live in the presence of God, to be at peace, to be restored, to have life everlasting the way he created it. That's what we call heaven. To live in his presence without fear. But the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking for Jesus right here. The clock is ticking because it is high time for him to die. To get that new kingdom is not just for Jesus to sit back and talk about it and say, well, someday everything is going to be wonderful once again. For him, this would come with the great anguish that we know he has when he is in that garden. And he is sweating and he is asking his Father, can this cup of your wrath against the whole world, pass away from me? This new kingdom is not simply a construction project. It's not simply take out the blueprints and see if you can figure out how to build something new. This is where God sweeps away everything old and gets rid of it and gets rid of all the hatred and the wickedness and the selfishness and the greed by punishing himself. The Father pours on his Son the iniquity of us all. And so the end of chapter 13 leads into 14 and 15, which is the institution of the Holy Sacrament of Holy Communion, and then our Lord being taken into custody first by Herod's soldiers, and then by Pilate's guard, and then being condemned to death and hung on a cross, where his disciples and all flee away. And except for a few who want to take care of his body, the only ones who go by and say anything are the ones who mock that fool who thought that he could somehow make the world a better place by challenging the powers that be. Let him come down from the cross if he thinks he's such a high and mighty guy. If he's the king of Israel, let him come on down. And so our king will rule from a cross with a crown of thorns, beaten and whipped and scourged, but suffering much more, not by the physical things that a human being can do to him, but by his Father abandoning him to death, turning away from him and saying, let him suffer the consequence that every human being is to deserve and ought to have forever, to live under the wrath of God because we are not willing by nature to be the children of God, to honor and glorify the Creator and Lord of the universe. It's not in us. And we confess that every Sunday. I can't get rid of this. And the Lord says, I will come and I'll reign in your heart. I will come and I'll give you the peace this world cannot give. I'll come and I'll restore you. And so we also celebrate that when we are baptized into the power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we're brought into that new kingdom. We're made over again. We're put at peace with God. God sees each one of us. And as we claim Christ as our Lord and Savior by faith, all God sees is his Son's righteousness in the depth of our being. And he loves us for all eternity. And he says, now watch out that you don't wander away from this new kingdom to go find your way elsewhere, which will be nothing but destruction, but rather praise and honor and glorify me. Hear that story again and again, because it's my love story for you. Here's why my death was not a waste, because I'm giving you the benefits of it. And so that kingdom is now really unfolding as we live here. It's unfolding as each one of our hearts is settled and encouraged and at peace in his presence. It is settled as we take out those binoculars, not only to look around for where the dangers are that would draw us away, but also to look around not for as much exactly what we're seeing when Jesus will come, but who in our world still needs to hear it, to keep our eyes open, to love people with his forgiving love, that everyone might have this peace. This peace doesn't come because I feel it. It doesn't come because I understand it. It doesn't even come because I can figure out a way to make it what I want it to be. It comes because my heart and your heart has been changed by the Creator and Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And his kingdom is coming, and we will be in his presence. And he will gather us all there to tell us those wonderful words, "Come in, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." He knew before anything was done what he would have to do. Why it is that this is how God brings us salvation and pours his wrath out on himself to give us his grace and mercy, that's in the heart of God and beyond us. We need not understand it. We need only be thankful for it and praise and honor him. Why was that first gospel written? Well, how in the world would you go out into the world and tell people about Jesus Christ, true God and true man, somebody that was crucified, that was God? Why, they thought the gods were the sun and the moon and the stars. That's what they thought the gods were. And that this was God? They thought that their Caesar became a godly figure when he died. This one? And so Mark says, look at all of the healing that he did to restore people. Look at all the proclamation about what the kingdom would be, the peace that would come, the way in which it would work, that God would bless it. Look at this righteous, wonderful man who was not put to death because of what was wrong in him, but what was wrong in everyone else. And thus, the end of the gospel says, the women said nothing to anyone, for they were very afraid. And the next verse ought to be for all of us. But his perfect love has cast out our fear. Let us boast and brag that our God loved us enough to give his death, to give us life everlasting, and that as he reigns forever and ever, he wants all people to be at peace with him and enjoy the benefits of that. And thus, the last Sunday of the church year, like every Sunday of the church year, is time to go tell the story of Jesus and his love. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.